Last week, we all watched and listened with great interest as Sonia Sotomayor, the first Latina to be nominated to the U.S. Supreme Court, weathered what seemed to most of us a firestorm of racist and sexist badgering at the hands of white men on the Senate Judiciary Committee. Joining me by phone to unpack some of what we witnessed is Ana Maria Loya, Executive Director of La Raza Centro Legal here in San Francisco. Ana is a graduate of UC Berkeley's Bolt Hall, where she was active in the La Raza Law Students Association, the La Raza Law Journal, and the Coalition for a Diversified Faculty. Like Judge Sotomayor, she has a wide range of experience, including working at a major law firm, the U.S. Department of Education's Office for Civil Rights, the Mexican American Legal Defense and Education Fund, and now the nonprofit La Raza Centro Legal. Ana, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
On your website, you wrote that it was thrilling to learn that President Obama had chosen Judge Sotomayor as his nominee. So I gather you're an admirer of the judge. What do you admire about her?
I think she brings a lot of experience to the bench. She's going to bring not only judicial experience and the active practice of being a judge and being a litigator in the federal system, but she's also bringing the experience of what it's like to grow up in this country struggling around issues of making ends meet, dealing with issues of being a woman of color. And I think that that experience will greatly enhance and support the work of the Supreme Court and help ensure that our Constitution will be implemented in a way that reflects the needs of a larger group of our society.
I think some progressives were disappointed in some of her responses before the committee, and especially her statement that only the law and not the heart is important in coming to legal conclusions. How did you feel about what she had to say?
I felt like her presence and her answers at the committee were very pragmatic. I felt that she was doing what she had to do in order to survive that process. I seriously doubt that issues of matters of the heart would be even questions that would be asked of other judges that have been in that same position.
So that kind of leads into the next question I wanted to ask, which is, do you think, or I gather that you don't think, that she basically got the same treatment as other candidates to the court from members of the opposition party? How do you see racism and sexism playing out in the hearings?
Well, you know, I think that the way that some of the questioning was worried about her ability to manage her emotions were commenting that unless she has a total, and what I can't remember what he said, but
A total meltdown,
questioning her about does she think she has a problem with her temperament. I just think those are the types of questions that don't get to whether or not someone's qualified for that position and aren't the type of questions that white men would get asked. They strike me as code for you're a woman or you're Latina. It also struck me as grasping at straws. Asking about her decisions she's made as a judge is more relevant.
Maureen Dowd wrote that really these hearings were just about sort of a warning to Obama not to go too far towards diversity or trying to appoint liberals and that there's going to be a reaction. What do you think about that?
I think that actually they have been communicating that to Obama constantly since he's been in office. And I think that Obama has, in some ways, also possibly excessively catered to that and catered to wanting to be reaching across the aisle in a way that hasn't been reciprocated. I also think the Republicans are a little bit worried about the Latino vote. So I think Sonia Sotomayor posed like a challenging and delicate problem for them.
As a Latina in the legal field, it must have been hard for you to hear the words wise Latina used over and over again in a negative way.
It's one of those things. It reminds me of when Michelle Obama said that she, for the first time, felt really proud of this country. I think that for people of color, when we hear or when we say those types of things, those really reflect genuine and real life experience of what it's like to be in this country, what it's like to struggle to be appreciated, what it's like to sometimes have to double prove yourself or to be in a courtroom and the judge not to recognize that you're one of the lawyers, to be at a meeting and someone to not pay attention to you because of how you look or your last name or the color of your skin. As a result, those types of experiences help form and shape us. And sometimes when we're talking about what it's like to grow up in this country and bringing that experience to a really exclusive, exclusive place like the Supreme Court, or to even just to the legal field, it surprises me when people hear that and panic and make it something negative and try to interpret it as something racist. It helps me realize how there are some segments of our society that can't even view the world from where I'm standing or from my in my shoes.
So do you think that having a Latina on the court will help the communities that you serve in a concrete way, or is it just a nice symbol?
I think it's yet to be seen. Our court is so conservative right now, and Judge Sotomayor will not be changing the balance of the court necessarily. And to be perfectly frank, she's not particularly the most liberal or most left choice either. I'm not sure where she would come down on some criminal justice or criminal reform type issues. With regard to that it's absolutely not prohibited, that it's actually imaginable that a Latino could be on the Supreme Court, I think those kinds of things can transform someone's own thinking about themselves, how they raise their children, or help change the sights that you set for yourself or for your family. Just as, you know, maybe 5 years ago, we could never have imagined that we would have an African-American president. That may have an impact. But the day-to-day realities of people struggling in this country, of Latinos struggling, I think her being appointed to the Supreme Court won't immediately impact that.
Do you have certain expectations of how she will be on the court and possibly how she might change once she gets on the court? I know that Sandra Day O'Connor, for instance, said that actually Justice Marshall really influenced her thinking and that caused her to become more moderate than a lot of us anticipated her being. Is there anyone on the court that you think might have an impact like that on Judge Sotomayor, or do you think that we may see a slightly different Sonia Sotomayor once she has a lifetime appointment to the Supreme Court?
I don't know how it will impact her. I do think it will. And I think that it'll take a few years to show. I think it typically does take a few years to really see a nominee or a new appointment to the Supreme Court, how they start to form themselves in that position and how they start to develop their jurisprudence. One thing that I've always believed is that what's happening societally also impacts the court, and that the conversations that happen at a mass level can't help but impact decision makers, policy makers, and judges. And so I do think that the more work that people do to have conversations about civil rights, to keep bringing up how ridiculous it is that we're even debating whether or not torture is something that should be allowed, you know, as a nation in our foreign policy, bringing up issues such as immigration reform and how it really genuinely impacts real-life people when they're blocked out of any pathway to legalization, bringing up what it's like for young people when the options for them seem to continually be pushing them towards the criminal justice system. I think that those things, when it's more in the national discourse and when there's more of a diversity in the discourse, it can't help but influence people, including the court. So that's something that I always have hope for, and I'm always pushing.
If you could have asked Judge Sotomayor any questions during these confirmation hearings, what would you have liked to ask?
If it were safe to ask her it, not
right.
Her. I would want to know, like, where is it that she sees from a constitutional perspective that our country has most gone astray, and where she thinks that it might be important through the legal system and through litigation to bring us back in track with realizing the doctrines and principles of our Constitution. And I'm thinking things in terms of it being innocent until proven guilty. I'm thinking of things like torture in our foreign policy, I'm thinking of things like needing to have Congress involved before we go to war, just some basic things, the right of people to be free from search and seizure without cause. Like, I would be curious, like, where does she see that it's important for our country to evolve more than where we're at right now?
Would you have any interest in being a Supreme Court justice someday?
Me personally, no, but I definitely have interest in seeing more and more of a broader breadth of people being considered for those positions. And I would like that it not always and only the only pathway that could possibly ever lead to it is if someone's been involved in being a prosecutor, being a judge, because that's a very narrow and limiting pathway. I think it's one that provides some good experience, but it would be great to have other experiences on the court as well.
I don't know if you happened to see the interview in the New York Times a couple weeks ago with Justice Ruth Ginsburg. I found it really interesting, and one thing that especially struck me was her saying that even now, sometimes when she speaks, the male justices ignore what she says, and then when one of the men says the same thing, everyone pays attention. I think that that's an experience every woman has had at some time in her life, but I was pretty shocked to hear that even on the Supreme Court, a woman has trouble making herself heard.
It's also startling or concerning because issues of gender discrimination that make their way to the Supreme Court get heard by those people who are wearing those shoes, who have those life experiences and aren't even conscious of those microaggressions or micro inequities that they practice even amongst themselves. And at the same time, I experience that as well, so I completely relate to her and appreciate her saying that, because that is a woman's experience, I think, in this world, still, unfortunately, to this day.
Ana Maria Loya, Executive Director of La Raza Centro Legal in San Francisco, has been my guest. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us.
Thank you.